Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen with a timer that's not working right. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Kung Pao Kosher comedy, which for 22 years now has been answering the age-old question, what are Jews supposed to do on Christmas? Kung Pao Kosher comedy takes place in San Francisco December 24th through 26th. Its creator is Lisa Geduldig, a San Francisco-based comic and producer who's originally from New York, where her entire suburban block was Jewish, except the Mazzolas next door, who had on their lawn the largest nativity scene in the history of the world. At least that's what Lisa tells us in her bio. Lisa is the creator, producer, and MC of a variety of comedy shows. Besides Kung Pao Kosher comedy, also the George Bush Going Away Party, an evening of political comedy, Funny Girls, a smorgasbord of women comedians, The Color of Fun, a multicultural comedy show, and a Muslim, a Mormon, and a Jew walk into a bar, the comedy of religion. Lisa produced Charo twice at the Herbst Theater, and for the past 4 years, she's been running a monthly show, Comedy Returns to El Rio, at the El Rio Bar in San Francisco's Mission District, where she began her comedy career 24 years ago. Lisa Geduldig, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you for having me.
So this year's Kung Pao Kosher comedy has its youngest comic ever, and 14-year-old Simon, I'm actually not sure how to pronounce his last name.
Cadell.
Cadell. So Simon Cadell. Tell us a little bit about Simon Cadell, and then we'll hear something.
Simon is from Westchester, New York, and he's 14. And at 11 years old, he started doing stand-up comedy. And back in January of this year, a comedian friend of mine who has performed at Kung Pao posted on his Facebook page a video of Simon doing comedy. And I thought it was very funny. And his humor's not just geared toward teenagers. Anybody of all ages would understand. He talks about technology and life and being a nerd and Jewish stuff. And I thought he was brilliant, and I hired him.
Great. Well, so here let's hear some of Simon Cadell a year ago at age 13.
Yes, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 13. I just had my bar mitzvah. Thank you. And according to the card, you guys had bar mitzvahs? Well, surprisingly small. We're in New York, guys. But yeah, bar mitzvahs are hard because you have to learn Hebrew. And Hebrew is a weird language. Like, I had to meet the guy who made Hebrew. Like, what was he thinking? He's like, hey, I have an idea. Let's make a language out of scribbles and then write it backwards. Good idea, Moish. I'll get a piece of paper to write this down. Better yet, scrolls. Scrolls? Yes. Giant lambskin and wooden scrolls. That sounds heavy. Some poor 13-year-old is going to have to carry that around in his bar mitzvah. Yeah, we're going to make him work for those bar mitzvah checks. Yes, yeah, so after the bar mitzvah, like, actually this vacation, we actually went to Israel. And I don't know if you knew this, but there are a lot of Jews there. But Israel really is a very religious place. There are tons of synagogues and mosques and churches. And I noticed something while I was there. All the religions view each other as threats, which I guess I kind of get. But for some reason, they also view atheists as a threat. Now, I'm a J-theist, half Jew, half atheist. It means I can believe what I want to believe, but still cash those bar mitzvah checks, which I earned. Yes, well, I'm a J-theist, and I have a lot of atheist friends, and we are the least threatening group ever. Like, we're literally a bunch of people who don't believe in or stand for anything. Like, you never see atheists putting on suits and knocking on doors going, hello, do you have a moment to not talk about Jesus Christ? Being an atheist is hard, too. Like, even texting is harder when you're an atheist. All my friends text, OMG, oh my God. I text, OMSPP, oh my scientifically proven principles.
That's great. That's Simon Cadell, who will perform at Kung Pao Kosher Comedy in San Francisco's Chinatown December 24th through 26th with three other comics, including my guest Lisa Geduldig, who produces the show and created it 21 years ago. I'm Eric Jansen. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I love that. A minute not to talk about Jesus Christ.
But I know.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? No, actually, I wouldn't want them to knock on my door anyway, but...
Yeah, they don't do that yet. Just start with the Christmas
atheists.
Songs
wow.
after
what
Thanksgiving.
What do you think about when the atheists come around knocking on doors? Wow.
Really? Have you accepted no one into your life today?
I did get some sort of a card from an atheist one time on the street. It was like some sort of a, I think it was a get-out-of-jail-free card, but I don't know why.
Well,
anyway.
The people who stand outside the Powell Street Bart with those big signs? Oh. No one is coming?
That's good. Lisa, how did you get the idea for Kung Pao Kusher Comedy?
Well, it was October of 1993, and a comedian that I had just met had told me about a women's comedy night in Massachusetts in South Hadley, and I thought it was going to be at a comedy club called the Peking Garden Club, and lo and behold, I got there, and it was a Chinese restaurant. So I called a friend in New York the next day and said I just had the most ironic experience. I was telling Jewish jokes at a Chinese restaurant, and out of that conversation, we bantered the idea of doing a Jewish comedy night on Christmas in a Chinese restaurant. And then I came back here and couldn't get it out of my mind, so I wrote a press release, hired some comedian friends, and had a very Woody Allen-esque experience trying to find a restaurant, trying to explain to them Jews and Christmas and Chinese food. And so I rented a restaurant for Christmas Eve, and the show sold out and then just kept growing exponentially. And here we are,
so what,
22 years later.
What finally clinched them to decide, like, this was, you were actually, were not totally crazy, and this would, they would actually, you know, they didn't care. You were going to rent the restaurant.
Yeah,
so.
At that point, I realized I just needed to ask, do you have a banquet room? Can I rent it? As opposed to explaining the whole song and dance of Jews going to Chinese restaurants on Christmas, the age-old tradition.
Is that really an age-old tradition?
It is.
How far back does that go?
Yeah, they're open, I think about 50 billion years.
Okay, because they're always open.
Yeah, they're open, and there's this...
Nothing else is.
...connection between Jews and Chinese food. I mean, I grew up every Sunday night going for Chinese food. We never questioned it. It was just what we did. It's what everybody did. You know, you went to the Chinese restaurant, and there were the Rabinowitzes and the Goldsteins and everyone else from the neighborhood. Just, you know, written in the Torah, I guess.
And Geduldig is not a name that I hear often.
No.
It's not a standard Jewish name. Did you get teased as a kid for that, with that name, or is that
Yeah.
part of the reason you became a comedian?
Actually, it's my stage name. Yeah, it was a hard name to have growing up, as is any name growing up, because kids can be ruthless. Geduldig actually means patient, as in the virtue of having patience in German, Yiddish, and Dutch. And it's a pain, but it's my joke to the world. You know, whenever I'm going to go perform somewhere new, I always have to find out who is the poor soul who has to pronounce my name and give him or her a little phonetics lesson.
So who, and did I say it okay?
Yeah, it's the Americanized as Geduldig, but it's really Geduldig.
Geduldig.
My parents say it wrong. They
Geduldig.
Say Geduldig, and I learned later in life that it was pronounced Geduldig. So
Geduldig.
Yeah.
You say
Geduldig, I say Geduldig.
Okay.
You know that song. Geduldig, so. Geduldig.
I actually heard a kid on the bus. So this is Hanukkah. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. I actually heard an 8-year-old kid on the bus singing your name. No, he was singing I Had a Little Dreidel. I couldn't believe it.
Our
it's like
only
he was
song.
Really singing it.
We have one song. Can you imagine if they played that one song in the stores during
All
Hanukkah?
The time.
Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Make it out of something else already. We don't have any other songs. But, you know, all of the Christmas songs were written by Jews.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Irving Berlin and everyone. Yeah.
Hmm.
I kid you not.
Well, it's not exactly, I don't think of it as a Christian holiday. I think of it as more of a pagan holiday, but you're right. It is. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked a little bit. I want to hear some of you performing at Kung Pao Kosher Comedy a few years ago. What year? You gave me the clips. What year is this from?
1493, I think.
Okay, perfect.
2008, so, I believe.
So let's hear Lisa Geduldig.
So some of you might have figured out that I come from a typical Jewish family. We have a doctor, a lawyer, and a lesbian comic. It was the high tops that gave it away.
Usually,
but my parents
zones,
are actually very disappointed
in
my brothers that they didn't become lesbian comics. I mean, they're just so embarrassed to try and talk about what they do with their lives. Like, yes, he's this doctor. And, when I decided to come out of the closet to my parents 20-something years ago, I thought I would do something very memorable for all of us. And I said, Mom and Dad, I've joined Jews for Jesus. They were like, we're going to write you out of the will. We're going to kill you. How can you do this? We raised you with the Jewish faith. And I said, I'm just kidding. I'm just gay. And they went, oh, thank God. And my parents have gotten a little bit too accepting that I feel like going straight just to annoy them. You know, My mom was telling me that she has a friend who has a friend. She has a friend whose daughter is a lesbian, and the friend disowned her daughter. Can you imagine? And my mother's like, "Don't worry, I would never disown you." And I said, "I know, I've tried everything." And then my father thinks he's really got it now. So recently he told me that he has a friend who has a gay son that he really thinks I should meet. So close.
That's Lisa Geduldig, producer of the 22nd annual Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, December 24th through 26th in San Francisco's Chinatown. Learn more online at koshercomedy.com. Lisa's my guest here tonight. I'm curious, Lisa, what parallels do you see between, you know, the outsider status of being Jewish and that of being queer, gay, lesbian, bi, or trans?
Oy vey. You got an hour or a
no,
minute?
We got several minutes, though.
Several minutes. I should have an answer to this.
Well, you know, it's kind of like I think of a little bit of the parallels. There's been this debate in the black gay community, especially like, am I black first or am I gay first? And there's this, you know, there's often sort of factionalizations. And the show, sometimes you have other gay comics on besides yourself at Kung Pao.
I'll tell you, when I came out to my father and he was not very happy about the fact that I was gay, I was like, "Dad, you're Jewish, you're progressive." He said, "Yeah, with everyone but my own kids." So I think, you know, it's a common theme that, you know, the family's going to wish you were straight. I usually have another gay Jewish comic, if there are any. I've kind of run out. So right now I'm actually putting out a call for straight comics to either come out or non-Jewish comics to convert. So, because I've been actually the only queer performer on the bill the last few years. Though I don't know what Simon's story is. He's still young.
Still young.
Yeah.
Young yet.
But maybe he'll come
Anything
out.
Anything could happen.
Come out this next week.
So tell me about the other comics that are on the show.
Jeremy Hutz is originally from Ottawa, and he lives in L.A., and he has won a lot of awards in Canada, best stand-up comic, and he's performed all over the world. He's popular in U.S., Canada, Australia, performs at a lot of different festivals. And he has this very interesting style. It's sort of miserableness. I don't think he sees himself as particularly doing Jewish-themed material, but just by way of his shtick being that of being miserable. His comedy tour last year in Canada was the miserable misery tour. We also have Ophira Eisenberg, who is also Canadian. We have two Canadians and a kid this year. She's originally from Calgary, and she lives in New York, and she's the host of NPR's Ask Me Another, and she performs all over, and just very personable, very funny. She also does storytelling through the Moth storytelling series. And then we have this newcomer, Lisa Geduldig, who will be on the show. So there's always three performers plus myself. I try and have gender parity, so two boys and two girls, which we typically have. Sometimes it's off, and it's all three girls and one boy. But everyone's always Jewish. The only time we had some performers who weren't Jewish were the third year of the show, the Kinsey Six performed, and two of the performers were Jewish and two were not.
Oh, I think I know which two are not.
And they are actually the only non-comedians I've had on the show. So,
But they're a comic when they do that. Oh, you mean they're not stand-up comics.
Not stand-up comics, yeah. I remember when Ben had approached me, they had been performing at Josie's. May Josie's rest in peace.
This is Ben Schatz of
Kinsey Six.
Rachel in the Kinsey
Rachel,
Six, those of you who know the Kinsey Six.
And he had said to me, "What do you think, you know, do you want to book us for Kung Pao?" And they had just been doing Beaver and all these sexual songs. And I was thinking of, you know, my 85-year-old Jewish attendees. And I thought, oh, I don't know. And he goes, "I'll write some Jewish material." So he wrote. I had a little facial and the macaruna and Don't Be Happy, Worry.
So that's the genesis of that.
That was the genesis of those songs. Uh-huh. And then they were just brilliant. And the 85-year-old blue-haired ladies loved them.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Actually, Josh Kornbluth performed one year, and he's more of a storyteller. Yeah. But it's pretty much been all stand-up comics.
Right, right. Including the most famous, I guess, Henny Youngman.
Henny Youngman performed his last show in 1997 at Kung Pao, and we exhausted him, and he got a cold, and he died of pneumonia 2 months later, and I've been accused for about 17 years now of killing him.
Is that the guilt thing? Is that the Jewish guilt thing
coming
through?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually on his tombstone that I killed him.
Okay, so two Canadians this year, and we're going to hear from one of them right now. This is Ophira Eisenberg. I don't know. She introduces herself, so I don't think we need to set it up any more than that.
I just realized that my little nephew will never know life without Facebook. That is so weird, right? Like, he'll never know what it's like to go, I wonder what happened to that guy Chris from high school, and then just shrug his shoulders and move on. Those are the golden years. Those are the golden years. And I'm friends with all of my exes on Facebook, of course. Totally artificial friendship. Ridiculous. Even one of the guys now stalks me on Facebook, always posting on my wall, liking things. And I have to let him get away with it because, to be fair, back in the day, after we broke up, I totally stalked him. But it was before Facebook, when stalking was different. Right? You needed a car. You need maps, binoculars, chloroform, you know.
That's Ophira Eisenberg. Some of you may recognize her from a show that KALW used to air, but doesn't anymore. And I forgot the name of the show, but it was a comedy show. You know. Ask Me Another. Thank you. And she does introduce her. I missed the clip. We had a little problem with the clip, but she introduces herself as saying something like, I'm Ophira Eisenberg. I've been introduced at parties as Oprah some Jewish name.
Yeah, exactly. Oprah something Jewish.
Oprah something Jewish. She will be at Kung Pao Kosher Comedy as well. You're listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Lisa Godoldig, producer of the 22nd annual Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, December 24th through 26th. Learn more online at koshercomedy.com. We'll hear from one more Kung Pao comic. First, I want to thank you, dear listeners. Marilyn Pittman and I have been producing Out in the Bay for 10 years now, and we so appreciate the positive and the critical feedback and the love you've shown us for a decade. So we're hoping you'll help us start our second decade off strong. Help us out with financial support or your time and talents. Have you ever wanted to work in radio, either on a show itself or behind the scenes? There's lots of possibilities. Researching show topics and guests, keeping our website content current, improving our social media presence. Help us run a Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign. I can't keep up with the rules. They change so fast. And, you know, of course, there's, help us put on a party for our 10-year anniversary, which is going to come up sometime next year. We're just in the early planning stages. You can be in on the ground floor. Anyway, you can learn about both possibilities. Go to the website outinthebay.org, where you can download podcasts for free, hear past shows, and see in the homepage slide. So you'll see we need help, or click the donate button. It's so easy. So keep us in mind during your year-end gift giving, and we will appreciate it so very, very much. So back to Kung Pao Kosher Comedy and my guest Lisa Godoldig. You have been, and you mentioned that you used to perform at Josie's, which no longer exists. It's been, 15 years since it closed like that? It was a great little performance space.
It kept closing 1 year, so it closed about 1990-ish.
So it closed many times.
Yeah.
But it was this great performance space in right in the Castro. It's been several restaurants since then. I don't even know what's there right now. I think it's Starbelly, maybe.
Or something. Yeah, I think it might have closed in 1999.
And so many comics started there. Like Margaret Cho had some of her early days there. The Kinsey Six performed there a lot. You did. Marilyn Pittman did, my co-host and co-producer.
It was churning Lipsinka. Out gay comics. Yeah, it was sort of like this factory of gay and lesbian comedians that Josie's, when they opened, because there weren't a lot of gay comics, queer comics. You know, there were Tom Amiano and Margaret Gomez and Leah Delaria, a handful of people who had started at its precursor, the Valencia Rose. And then when Josie's opened, it just seemed like a lot of people just started doing comedy, and there was just a really big gay comedy scene in San Francisco in the 90s.
San Francisco had a really big comedy scene in general at that time, mm-hmm. too, right?
Yeah, there were a lot more clubs. I mean, there was the Improv and other clubs that have since closed. But I think there's definitely been a resurgence of comedy. It seemed like it was potentially dying a decade or so ago. But there are a lot of small comedy shows every night. I mean, even if you want to go to a comedy show on Monday nights, you can find a handful of different shows to go to. The show that I produce at El Rio, I used to produce it on a Monday night, and then this year Thursday opened up, so I moved to the third Thursday of the month.
Oh, okay, just to compete with Out in the Bay, didn't you? No, actually, that's not true,
no.
Because you can go there right after you hear the show.
As soon as we end at
7:30, and you can head right on over there because it starts at 8 and goes for how long?
It goes till 9:30, 9:45. There are five comedians on the bill. Tonight we'll have the fabulous Marga Gomez and Jabari Davis and Joe Klosek and Yuri Kagan and myself. There'll be three out of the five comics tonight are queer. So that's 8 o'clock at El Rio.
It's a little more queer than Kung Pao Kosher comedy.
Yes.
Is that usually true there? I mean, as far as comedy
returns? It's a mishmash. Okay. Some nights at El Rio are all queer. Some are all straight, except for me. So it just depends. I try and have it as gender parity and multicultural as possible, and then sexuality plays into it as well.
So this is the third Thursday of every month now at El Rio.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because I get your news releases. It says, comedy returns to El Rio. And I'm like, wait a minute. You've been saying that for a couple of years now, and I didn't get it. But so you started there a long time ago. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this is the story. I had first started performing in 1989 at El Rio, and they had a Wednesday night comedy series. And that closed a number of years ago. And on my 20th anniversary of performing back 5 years ago, I thought, I'm going to bring comedy back to El Rio. And I thought, maybe I'll do this for 6 months or a year. And I came up with the name Comedy Returns to El Rio because we're bringing comedy back to El Rio. Had I known that now going into the sixth year, I'd still be doing it, I would have come up with a different name because it's kind of ridiculous, you know, to keep saying Comedy Returns to El Rio. Nobody's really questioned it before. I've just kind of pulled it off without anyone saying anything.
But us stamped journalists. We're not like other show hosts.
Exactly.
We're picky about the details.
Just like with Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, I have a dinner show followed by a cocktail show. And it's not really a big cocktail show. It's just the second show, and I need to come up with a name, and I called it the cocktail show.
Because there actually is food at the second show, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a vegetarian dim sum at the second show,
but the cocktail show. But the cocktails are not included.
No, and you don't have to drink cocktails, but, you know, I feel like I can't go back in time and change the name of it.
So when did you arrive in San Francisco?
I came here December of 82. I was taking time off from college, upstate New York, at a small, unknown college called Cornell University, which I don't usually tell people, but I just outed myself. And I'd gone to school for 2 years and just needed to take some time off, and I was waiting tables. I was working on a farm in Vermont. It was actually a Quaker-run summer camp called Farm and Wilderness, and they would take on wayward college dropouts to take care of the garden and animals and carpentry projects, and we had 3 weeks off in between the fall and the winter work crew. I was supposed to go back to 4 feet of snow to make maple syrup.
Wow.
In Vermont.
Talk about fun.
And I came here, and it was T-shirt weather in December and January, and I thought, I'm not going back to 4 feet of snow. So I ended up staying. I came out of the closet. I started doing comedy. You know, like, everything happened, like, the day after I got here.
You know, I know this is one of these things you're going to say. Do you have an hour? But kind of briefly, what do you think about the changes you've seen in San Francisco in that time? That would have been 30 years now, roughly.
Yeah, I live in the Mission. I've been in my apartment for 25 years. There's like a new restaurant that opens up on Valencia Street every 15 minutes. The rents in the neighborhood are insane.
You can never move.
And I can never move. No, exactly. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with where I live because I love it because I can live there and afford it, but I hate it because I can never move.
Sounds,
my landlord's listening. I love you. But yeah, the rents are outrageous, and the population has changed in the neighborhood. I mean, it's definitely
my landlord is a big supporter of Out in the Bay. He doesn't know it, but that's the only way I can do this show.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
exactly.
I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, that's what I say too. My landlord. When somebody wants me to do a show for free, and I say, well, my landlord doesn't take trinkets. It's like, it'll be great exposure. Once I got a call from a library in Hayward wanting me to perform Sunday at 11 a.m., said it was going to be great exposure, like, in the stacks.
Okay. We have one more comic to hear from Kung Pao Kosher Comedy. This is the headliner, Jeremy Hotz, who's a foul-mouthed MFer, because we couldn't. We had a hard time cleaning
clips.
It up.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Debbie, our engineer extraordinaire, did it, and so we have a little bit of Jeremy Hotz to play for you.
What do we do on Thanksgiving? Nothing in particular. Sit with family, right? Eat. That's it. Nothing else. No. What do? They celebrate the pilgrims. Why? Why celebrate those morons? You ever look at them? They had belts on their hats. I would have loved to have been at that meeting just to see how it came up. Our hats keep blowing off in the wind. Let's put belts on them. Good thinking, Jacob. Anything else? Yeah, our shoes keep falling off. Buckles, you say? Oh, it's so bizarre. Canada and America, we live right next to each other, and we kind of get along. Or they think we get along with them, but we really don't. We're vitally afraid of them, aren't we? Because they have guns, and we reason.
That's Jeremy Hotz, headliner of Kung Pao Kosher Comedy, coming up Christmas Eve, Christmas night, and the
Boxing
night of Boxing Day.
Exactly, the day you return all your presents.
Lisa Godaldig, tell us, where can people find more information?
You can go to the website, koshercomedy.com, and you can find information about the comedians. And we actually have two beneficiaries. Each year we give money away to different organizations. This year is Jewish Family and Children's Services food programs, as well as the San Francisco Suicide Prevention. That will be in honor of Robin Williams, who we lost this year. So koshercomedy.com has all the information. You can get tickets there, or you can call Monday to Friday, 9 to 4. 925-855-1986.
Thank you so much. That's Lisa Godaldig, Kung Pao Kosher Comedy creator and producer. Also produces Comedy Returns to El Rio. It's tonight at El Rio. Get on over there. It starts at 8 o'clock and goes till 9, 9:45. Marga Gomez is the sort of special surprise guest appearing. Instead of our usual theme tonight, we're going to go out with Oi to the World by the Klezmonauts. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We're heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time on KLW.org worldwide and at 91.7 FM in the Bay Area, anytime you want on our website, outinthebay.org. While you're there, help us start our second decade off strong. Help us out with a financial gift or your time and talents. If you've ever wanted to work in radio, go see the slideshow event on our thing on our homepage. We need help. It's right there, or click the donate button. Thank you so very, very much. That's outinthebay.org, where you can also get free podcasts, download the Stitcher program, to Stitcher application to hear radio programs on your phone. 10 years. We thank KLW for studio use and airtime, and this week's engineer extraordinaire, Debbie Kennedy. If your business or nonprofit would like to help support Out in the Bay and receive on-air thanks heard by our thousands of listeners weekly, please see the sponsors page on our website, or just send me an email, eric@outinthebay.com. Outinthebay.com, we'd love to hear from you. So write to us, marilyn@outinthebay.com and eric@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here.